It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 751. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your clients unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on the website at miketechshow.com, or you can go directly to instanthousecall.com. Remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. The show is also brought to you by Magnus Box. Magnus Box is your secure, reliable, single source for your online backups for your customers. You have a client that will work across all platforms: Linux, Windows Desktop, Windows Server, Mac. I have it on my Mac. It works great. I actually have a couple clients. It's wonderful. So you can resell, make money, and become a partner for Magnus Box. It's easy to monitor, easy to manage, and keep an eye on a single pane dashboard for the activity, for all the backups, so you know if they failed or were successful, or if there's a warning or any kind of a problem. Go to magnusbox.com and request a demo. Mention the Mike Tech Show. And when you sign up, your first 3 months, your platform fee is half price. Check them out. You'll love it. Today's show, I say today, recording this Saturday afternoon. I couldn't do a show Thursday night. I was too busy, and I just a quickie update on the shoulder. I am doing phenomenally better this week, but there are good days and bad days. Thursday was a bad day with some pain, so I don't know what I did to mess things up, but it was too painful to be able to do a show. Today is a very good day, which is, I'm glad I rescheduled for Saturday. So I'm still waiting for the results of the MRI. I'm going to get them on Monday. I have an appointment, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I will not need any rotator cuff surgery. I am definitely healing. It's looking better. A lot of the bruises are clearing up. So I know I'm recovering, and I'm feeling better than I was. So today, client scammer story. And by the way, today's show is all stories from the trenches, no email. Going to talk about a FINRA compliance, wiping hard drives from a printer, disaster recovery, business continuity and privacy policy for my company, Windows 7 photo viewer, the best way to get that installed, how to do that for a client, QuickBooks tip, and also just lots of scanning stories. So let's get started. This is a client scamming story. Client called my son. He was on the phone with somebody that was remoting into his system, and he felt uncomfortable when they said, hey, Malwarebytes is no good, that doesn't protect your system, and started saying you don't have a firewall, you don't have, and he was concerned. So he got his cell phone, called my son. The scammer was on the speaker phone on my client's phone. And my son said, hang up. He quickly logged in, knocked the scammer off. It was GoToMeeting Assist was being used, and he got knocked out, knocked him off, and then ran Adware Cleaner and started running some things. It had a reboot. This is where the problem. When it rebooted, every time it rebooted, it would go directly into a command prompt. So that's when my son said, hold on. He called me. He said, Dad, what should we do for this? And I said, we got to get the system. So either you go pick it up or have them drop it off. They dropped it off. So the guy's wife. Now, we've been down this road with this client multiple times. He clicked on something in an email that brought up a website that started talking to him, gave him an 800 number, said he was infected, and he had to call this number, and he called the number. This happens so often. It's amazing the phishing and scamming that so many people, it's amazing how gullible users are, where they read something and believe it because everything they read must be true, right? There must be a problem. And this is not the first time. So rather than get upset, hey, it's billable time. It's whatever it takes. And got the system. When I booted up and watched it go right into the command prompt, and by the way, just in case there was ransomware or anything, I hooked this up to no network here. And even if I did, I have a safe, protected client network that can't touch any part of my network but can still get internet. And I didn't even plug it into that. Once I seen that, I was like, let me try msconfig. And I ran msconfig, and I'm going to do it right now and go over what the person did. And I don't know why they did this. And they didn't ask for money, by the way, right away. They didn't even get to that point, because I think what they were going to do was make sure that there was he was going to reinstall different security software, and they probably would have asked for the credit card soon, but they hadn't got to that point. Well, it wasn't a normal startup. It was a selective startup, and on boot, it had safe mode, minimal, alternate shell. All those items were checked from the system config. Once I reset them back to normal and rebooted, it came in perfect. We ran a lot of utilities and cleaned the system. And once we verified that it was totally clean, I plugged it into the network, did Windows updates, just making sure everything was good, and we were able to return the system. But I was prepared to be able to do the following, because we know it wasn't ruined. We know the system was able to boot. So a couple things I want to go over, because I started like, well, what am I going to do once I get the system here? And it dawned on me about msconfig, and I was lucky, and that's why I wanted to mention that. If you want to boot into safe mode, like let's say this wasn't safe mode and there was something else happening and you got to clean the system, this is one of my biggest beefs with Windows 10. Is you can't just hit the F8 key and get an alternate startup so where you can pick the mode to repair or to get into safe mode. The only way is you have to have three false starts where you got to pull the plug or hit the power button three different times before the system boots. On the fourth time, you'll finally get the repair menu. That makes no sense to me. And I think I vented on that way back when Windows 10 came out. There is a way, and I just thought of this now, I got to find a link. I have a utility that automatically, I click a button and it automatically activates the F8 option on boot. I want that on all systems because you never know if you got to get in the safe mode, and I don't want to go through or even walk a client going through four times of it not booting, and then finally you get the repair menu. So if you don't have that F8 activated, then you got to do that. Now you can go into the advanced recovery options, and you got a few things that you can try. You can troubleshoot the startup. You can also last known boot, which is, I've had that save me a few times, just going to that. Or you can pick a restore point that was created maybe from a Windows update or something that had happened, and I've had that save me. But you got to get into that advanced recovery mode in order to select those options. That's the path that I thought I was going to have to go down. And but all of a sudden, once I seen that, type commands, msconfig launched from the command prompt, and the GUI came right up, and I was able to select everything for a normal boot. So just wanted to review that, because your clients are going to get compromised. They don't know any better. I try to instill to every client that I come in contact with, if you're asked to do something, don't do it. If you answer the phone and they want, don't do it. Don't trust anything you read or anybody that talks to you unless you personally know them. Don't call any number because the computer is asking you to do something. Don't do it. So one of the things my client, when my son hooked it up, said, how come Malwarebytes didn't stop that? Now, my answer wanted to be, well, Malwarebytes can't prevent stupidity. He didn't say that. He wasn't rude. He said, Malwarebytes cannot stop human interaction. You picking up the phone and dialing a number, it cannot prevent that. So, and then that's when it sunk in, you know, there was human interaction and he executed things that there's no software in the world that's going to stop you from dialing a phone number. Now, we can minimize that kind of pop-up happening by having the proper extensions or proper security within browsers. And we have that, and it still didn't block this being able to just click on an email. You can't prevent someone from opening something in an email, an attachment, or clicking on a link. So my son had a nice conversation with him. We try to have everybody, don't do it. If Facebook asks you to cut and paste something, don't do it. And this is what we got to communicate to the world. And we can stop this. So one of the things that, you know, we look at this like a double-edged sword. You know, we don't like this happening to clients, but this is what keeps us in business. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times we've had to clean systems for non-clients where they became a client because they were infected or they let someone do something, their credit cards got compromised, and you know, it's bad. This is why these people still exist. If nobody clicked on spam, there would be no spam. The reason why we have phishing and the spam and the phishing phone calls, because it works and people fall for this. If we didn't, they would stop, but it's profitable. And so I make sure I have that discussion with clients that I feel need to have that discussion with, or my son will have that discussion with them. So I just wanted to share all that. Hopefully you're taking away ideas of, boy, I got to communicate this with my different clients. But some clients will never learn, and they will continue to click on things. They will continue to answer the phone and believe the person at the other end. Even though Microsoft will never call you, the IRS will never call you, and they continue to fall prey for this. And it's interesting, they always bring up the event viewer. Once they get access, they show the errors in the event viewer, because every system, I don't care how good it is, I don't care how clean it is, you're going to have errors within the event viewer that you can show and demonstrate. And this is how they gain the confidence of the user. They show things that make sense and sounds reasonable to the person that they're conning. And it's just, it's a shame. And this just happened this week, and we took care of it pretty fast. I was able to fix it and get that back into the user's hands. And then that night sent him an invoice for all the time that was spent. Couple things that I want to bring up for FINRA and HIPAA compliance, but especially FINRA, which is the financial industry. I have Ameriprise financial advisors. I have a lot of them. And one of them is returning their printers, their copier, scanner, multifunction. Now, these big multifunction devices have hard drives. Those hard drives can contain private, confidential information that is being printed or scanned. So you cannot return it without it being securely wiped. And so my one client reached out to me. I sent my son. We had to look at a video. I had to show him on how to get the hard drives out of these Carasia printers. And he went there, took them out, took the hard drives out, brought them back to me. I do a secure wipe of them. And then we not only secure wipe them, we drill a hole through the center of them. And now we know that that's it. That drive's never going to be able to be read. So now, and we charge for that. So you should have a procedure and this be something you offer as a service for being able to securely wipe and destroy drives as needed. The second thing, my son is so used to HPs for scanning. I forget what brand it is, but this was a Canon. And the Canons are different for scanning to a network folder. They have a host field and then a path, and they work in conjunction, where a lot of other printers, you put the path is /, the server name or the destination, then /, and the share name. Here, it was a real path, and he had to put the host name, and this is where you want to put an IP address. Now, luckily, this was a Synology, and it had been a long time since we were on site, because we're break fix with this client, a very long time. I had my son check the IP address of the Synology, and it was a static IP address. I said, put that IP address in the host. Now, in the path, just put /, and the share name, and then put the administrator account and password for the Synology. Boom, it worked perfectly. So I was able to solve that fairly quickly. Then yesterday, and that's what made me think of this, another client that got a totally different brand new multifunction machine that had to get hooked up had a completely different. And this one, they wanted to do scan to email. Now, luckily, the host that my client has for their email allows it. It's like, you know, Billy Bob's email and web services. And they allow, because a lot of services don't, a lot of email services do not allow this. They use an account called Scans, and you had the password and got that set up and working. But this was very interesting. My son had not worked with the email clients on the systems there, they were Thunderbird. He has never used or opened up Thunderbird. So he was on the phone. This is what's great, having someone that could be on site and I can just remote in. I said, get remoted in. He made sure Instant House Call was on the systems. I remoted in and I showed him while he was sitting there configuring Thunderbird profiles and account settings. And it had been a while since I've touched Thunderbird, but you need to stay up on all the email clients. I mean, 90% of our clients use Outlook. And I would say the other 8% use web only. And then we probably have 2% that are Thunderbird. But it's there and you need to be familiar with setting it up. And it is very easy. I think Thunderbird setting up account settings is easier than Outlook. So once we got that going and got everything set up and he tested the scans, they came, the scans PDF to email were coming in right where they needed it. So that was done. And then he had lots of cleanups to do. This client, again, Break Fix, hadn't been there in a long time, which I'm seeing a little uptick the last few weeks as people get back into the offices and they start working and they're finding they need some support and help. So we're starting to see a little uptick of clients we haven't been talking with in a while. And that's nice. I'm glad to hear that. And it's great, you know, in addition to the retainer clients. So he had to do some cleaning on the systems, you know, getting Malwarebytes renewed on the workstations. Ran into two Windows 7 systems still. So that's the conversation I got to have with the manager. You gotta upgrade. You cannot stay with Windows 7. And the systems are too old to even upgrade, these two. So got to talk them into new systems. That's a follow-up conversation. As a matter of fact, Tuesday, I have a client that's finally moving the COVID-19. They had moved during this and were stuck in a temporary place because of getting work finished for the construction of the final destination. Well, that's finally done. I learned this the other day. So my two sons on Tuesday, Ryan and Michael, are going to move the workstations and server from the temp location to the final destination, which was, as odd as it sounds, an unused Catholic church, Roman Catholic church, that my client bought from the Archdiocese and converted it into a warehouse. So just interesting. And definitely there were significant wiring challenges that the electrician had that we counseled kind of, you know, what had to be done. So my two sons are going to move those computers and components. I'll be available remotely to make sure everything's hooked and working right. So that was, but we already know they have a couple Windows 7 systems. So my son is armed to have a discussion with the owner. Look, this is the time. We got to get systems upgraded here. That hopefully will be another visit. Client, it's the first time a client contacted me for our disaster recovery, business continuity, and privacy policy that they need for anybody that's doing support for them. And it's interesting, and I can't believe it's been this long since I've been asked for this. I really should have been asked for this years ago. And I have a very informal policy, and it has to be in writing. And so that's something I worked on this week, which was getting it down on paper and sharing it. Because now I look at my company, MHS Consulting, as we have three locations. We have my house here. Then we have my son's house, who is in a different area in Philadelphia. I'm outside the city. And then I have the house in Florida now, which if God forbid there was a disaster here or something, well, I got my total office in another state that's not even close to here. So That's nice for disaster recovery. Something that's interesting is now using MagnusBox for my data. All my systems, my data is all backed up a couple places. It's backed up to the Synology. The Synology is backed up locally to a local drive here. But what if there's a total disaster of my office? Every night, all of my data is backed up to MagnusBox. My Synology, and I want to move that. I haven't moved that over and flipped it to MagnusBox because I'm waiting for them to do the Synology client. Right now, that's Amazon Glacier because it's really cheap and easy. So I have that backed up. But right now, I get to put in my disaster recovery plan, MagnusBox. That's for all of my storage, for critical files for backing up. I also have OneDrive that I work off of that then can sync between the locations. So I'm just kind of going over all the different options that you can think about for yourself, for your own disaster recovery. Now, business continuity. How can you keep your business running and making sure that you are in business with a disaster? So it's not just recovering all the data to your systems. How do you maintain? Well, the beautiful thing of using Syncro and having all the information we have in Syncro, and Syncro's totally web-based, that's part of our business continuity plan where I can go anywhere, log in, I have two-factor authentication, I have an app on my cell phone, and I can log in just as long as I have internet and a browser. So complete disaster, I'll go buy a laptop, I can go anywhere with internet, and I can still support my clients. And that's how you have to think for your business. If you're asked for this, as a client could ask, where's your policy? Formalizing our DR plan, business continuity, and then there's lots of sample privacy policies. We keep it very simple. We never share info. So you got to say it. Even though we do it and we practice it, you got to put it on, you got to put it in writing, put it in a paper. As a matter of fact, what I want to do for our website is have the privacy policy there so we can direct people to click on that, click on privacy policy, and you have a statement. So I'm working on what I now have written in Word and made a PDF, getting that translated and uploaded to the website, which a plug for TechSite Builder for the website. I'll have a link. Our website is hosted and was built by TechSite Builder. You go to TechSiteBuilder.com to have everything you need for great pricing to have your website done, hosted for your tech site. There's no place better. So TechSiteBuilder.com. I'm going to have to work. I'll work with them to get my privacy policy updated. There's also a few changes. I want to add our Syncro client portal links to there. So I'm going to be making some changes to the website. I haven't touched it in a long time. So it needs some updating to become current with how we're working. Windows 10 updates. That's going to keep us in business forever. Why? I want to know why a Windows 10 update will change the Ethernet status and therefore all the permissions and anything that was set from private to public. Why? And I see this a lot. And no longer can they share or do things, and it interrupts the business, for especially anybody doing peer-to-peer work, which most of our clients are. A Windows 10 update had screwed up two clients this week with changing their security settings within the Ethernet. I'll never understand why they would change that. But we change it back, we fix it, and we do it, but there was a couple this week that I had to change back to private. And therefore, there are different settings for that than public. Client went from Windows 8, 8.1, we redid the system to Windows 10 a few weeks ago. And she wants to print photos, but as a photo size, and went to print. And obviously the photo viewer is very different. They got rid of the photo viewer from Windows 7, which I personally love and use. And my client missed it. And this is a utility that does way more than just this one thing. But I knew exactly how to quickly fix this. And that's the WinAereo Tweaker. And that will be in the show notes. There is an option that is so easy to, it's all the way at the bottom for the classic settings for Windows 7 to add the photo viewer and activate it. And then it brings up the app defaults within Windows 10. So now you can pick photo viewer. I did this in like 2 minutes remotely, used Instant House Call, got in, downloaded the tweaker, the WinAereo tweaker, set that. And she was like, oh, this is great. And just made my client so, so happy. I said, we'll leave that utility on your system because there'll be other things that you may miss. And this is the utility. I said, I don't want you playing with it, but we can log in and quickly activate or change classic games. Maybe you'll want the old style and look for the old calculator. There's lots of great things that you can adjust and set for WinAereo. That is a tremendous utility that I don't mind linking again. And I've talked about that several times. So that'll be in the show notes. Final story, a QuickBooks tip. User calls me. They are remoted in. They use the sub account for Instant House Call to remote into their desktop. There's only two users of the 12 that use QuickBooks. QuickBooks is the database manager is running off of a real server, a domain controller. QuickBooks is on their desktop. She closed out of QuickBooks the day before. She goes back in. QuickBooks displays the error that her account is logged in. Well, it's not. And the other person uses their account. They're not using that. When you see that, this is the solution. QuickBooks does not always close out properly when you close. So I asked the user, I said, I can jump in and fix this in a couple seconds. Do you want me to feed you or do you want me to teach you how to fish? And she said, teach me how to fish. I said, okay. I said, go into the system. Right-click on the bottom toolbar, pick Task Manager. Now go down and anything with QB or the word QuickBooks, right-click and end the task. QuickBooks does not close itself properly. I see this a lot. Once she did that, launched QuickBooks, was able to log in with no problem. So I wanted to share that. That's another QuickBooks tip. I have so many different tips. I could give master support lessons for QuickBooks now. And I keep saying this. I want to put a show together that's just dedicated to QuickBooks lessons. Have consolidated all of the links and all of the tricks and tips for fixing. Like, this is a great one. When the server has to reboot, sometimes the QuickBooks service does not launch. You have to, it's really an order of preference. And you have to kind of delay the startup. That's the real solution. That you have to stop the DNS server service, then start the QuickBooks service, and then quickly go back and restart the DNS service. That's a tip. You didn't hear that here. You could spend many, many hours searching and pulling your hair out on that one. So I have a bunch of these, and then I really want to like compile a PDF for downloading and just have this like master QuickBooks show for supporting QuickBooks, or when you clone the older version of when you clone a drive and you have to delete this very specific file on some of the older versions of QuickBooks, or QuickBooks won't work. And there's no other solution. You can uninstall QuickBooks. You can reinstall it. It will not fix the problem. The only way is to delete this one file that has to do with the licensing. And when you restart QuickBooks, it will recreate the file. So I've talked about these separately over the course of many years in supporting QuickBooks. That is it. The best way, and I want to thank you, because the last couple months have been phenomenal in our payments from Amazon. Carrie and I share an Amazon affiliate account. And when you click on our link and you buy something from Amazon, you add it to your cart and then check out, we get a small commission. Your price stays the same, but that adds up. When you have tens of thousands of people using that link, it really adds up and makes a difference. And Carrie and I, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Thank you so much for using our link. And please continue to use that. It makes a difference. It really does. And I can't say it anymore. That is the ultimate way of supporting the show. And then support our other affiliate, which is Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro. Love it. Love it. That's what you need for any of your settings and you want to transfer going from one system to another. And of course, our sponsors. Can't live without MagnusBox for our backups. I just set up another client last night, a new device. So also remember, for MagnusBox, they now have Bare Metal Restore in the cloud. Can't ask for any more than this. Love it. And Instant House Call. You hear I mention them throughout the show because that's how I live. That's how we operate and run our business. There are the four products: Fab's Auto Backup, MagnusBox, Instant House Call, and Synchro. That's our business. We live with that. That is what we use every single day. And thank you so much for supporting the show, for downloading and listening and staying subscribed. I'll see you hopefully back regular time. Last couple weeks, it's been Saturdays. So hopefully this Thursday, I will be back. And 7 o'clock, 7 or 7:30, depending on what, you know, I will tweet. I got to get more consistent schedule. So I am working hard to try to do that. So that's it. Everybody, have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.